Appendix 4. Early church leaders testify. Irenaeus, 130 to about 200 AD, Bishop of Lyon. His nearness to the apostles makes his testimony most interesting. Irenaeus did not believe evil would last forever. In his treatise Against Heretics, he wrote in Book 3, Chapter 23, Paragraph 6, "Wherefore also he drove him, Adam, out of paradise, and removed him far from the tree of life, not because he envied him the tree of life, as some dare to assert, but because he pitied him, and desired that he should not continue always a sinner, and that the sin which surrounded him should not be immortal, and the evil interminable and irremediable." Irenaeus. Theophilus, 160 to 181 AD, Bishop of Antioch. "And God showed great kindness to man in this, that he did not suffer him to continue being in sin forever, but as it were, by a kind of banishment, cast him out of paradise, in order that, having by punishment expiated within an appointed time the sin, and having been disciplined, he should afterward be recalled." Theophilus to Autolycus, Book 2, Chapter 26. Clement of Alexandria, 190 AD, head of the catechetical school there. He speaks of having learned from a disciple of the apostles. His wide and various learning and his sympathetic spirit combine to give special weight to his teaching. "All men are Christ's, some by knowing him, the rest not yet. He is the Savior not of some only, and of the rest not," i.e., he is actually Savior of all. "For how is he Lord and Savior if he is not Lord and Savior of all? But he is indeed Savior of those who believe, while of those who do not believe he is Lord, until, having become able to confess him, they obtain through him the benefit appropriate and suitable to their case. He, by the Father's will, directs the salvation of all. For all things have been ordered, both universally and in part, by the Lord of the universe, with a view to the salvation of the universe, but needful correction by the goodness of the great overseeing judge, through, by means of, the attendant angels, through various prior judgments, through the final, pantelos, judgment, compels even those who have become still more callous to repent." Clement. Origen, 185 to 254 AD, pupil and successor of Clement of Alexandria, founded a school at Caesarea, the greatest theologian and exegete of the Eastern Church. "But he that despises the purification of the Word of God and the doctrine of the Gospel only keeps himself for dreadful and penal purifications afterward, that so the fire of hell may purge him in torments, who neither apostolical doctrine nor gospel preaching has cleansed, according to that which is written of being purified by fire. But how long this purification which is wrought out by penal fire shall endure, or for how many periods or ages it shall torment sinners, he only knows to whom all judgment is committed by the Father." Origen, Commentary on Romans, Book 8, Chapter 11. Eusebius of Caesarea, 265 to 340 AD, Bishop of Caesarea in Palestine, friend of Constantine, the greatest of the early church historians, wrote on Psalm 2, "The sun's breaking in pieces his enemies is for the sake of remolding them, as a potter his own work," as Jeremiah 18:6 says, i.e., to restore them once more to their former state. Eusebius. Athanasius, 296 to 373 AD, called the Great, Father of Orthodoxy, Pillar of Orthodoxy, Bishop of Alexandria and writer of many works, especially noted for defending the deity of our Lord. "While the devil thought to kill one, he is deprived of all, cast out of Hades and sitting by the gates, sees all the fettered beings led forth by the courage of the Savior." Athanasius. Gregory Nazianzen, 330 to 390 AD, president of the Second Great Ecumenical Council, was considered the most learned bishop in one of the most learned ages of the Church. until he loosed by his blood all who groan under Tartarian chains. Today, salvation has been brought to the universe, to whosoever is visible and whatsoever is invisible. Today, the gates of Hades are thrown open. Adam receives death as a gain, and thereby the cutting off of sin, that evil should not be immortal. And so the vengeance turns out a kindness. For thus I am of opinion it is that God punishes. Nazianzen. Ambrose, 340-397 AD, Bishop of Milan, converted Augustine by his preaching, the father of Latin hymnology, reproduced many of the writings of the Greek fathers. The mystery of the Incarnation is the salvation of the entire creation. As it is elsewhere said, the whole creation shall be set free from the bondage of corruption. So the Son of Man came to save that which was lost, i.e., all. For as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be made alive. The subjection of Christ consists not in few, but in all becoming obedient. Christ will be subject to God in us by means of the obedience of all. Then, when vices having been cast away, and sin reduced to submission, one spirit of all people, in one sentiment, shall with one accord begin to cleave to God. Then God will be all in all. Ambrose. Didymus, 380 AD, the last distinguished head of the school of Alexandria, Didymus surpassed all of his day in knowledge of the Scriptures, says St. Jerome. He argues, divine correction, even vengeance, and promise have the same object in view. Also, God destroys liars so far as they are liars, in Psalm 5, verse 6. Christ descends to Hades and brings back the souls there detained on account of their sins. Didymus, in Psalm 71:20. Gregory of Nyssa, 332-398 AD, a leading theologian of the Eastern Church and one of the most prominent figures in the Second Great Church Council, which practically established the orthodoxy of the Nicene Creed. The divine judgment does not, as its chief object, cause pain to those who have sinned, but works good alone by separating from evil and drawing to a share in blessedness. But the severance of good from evil causes the pain of the judgment. In other words, the penalty is the cure. It is merely the unavoidable pain attending the removal of the intruding element of sin. Gregory, Dialogue of the Soul and Resurrection. Jerome, 340-420 AD, devoted to scripture study, revised the old Latin translations, and translated the Old Testament from Hebrew into Latin of the New Testament. Allen stated he found nearly 100 passages in his works indicating Jerome sympathized with the larger hope. When the psalmist says, "Your enemies, O God, shall perish. Every man who has been your enemy shall hereafter be made your friend. The man shall not perish. The enemy shall perish." Jerome, in Psalm 92:9. Hilary, 354 AD. Hilary, Bishop of Poitiers, is considered one of the champions of orthodoxy. The whole human race, who are one, are the one lost sheep, which is destined to be found by the Good Shepherd. Hilary. Titus, 364 AD, Bishop of Bostra, Chilo describes as the most learned among the learned bishops of his age, and a most famous champion of the truth. St. Jerome reckons him as one of those in whom you are at a loss whether to admire most their learning or their knowledge of Holy Scripture. The very pit itself is a place of torments and of chastisement, but is not eternal. It was made that it might be a medicine and help to those who sin. Sacred are the stripes which are medicine to those who have sinned. Therefore we do not complain of the pits of hell, abysses, but rather know that they are places of torment and chastisement, being for the correction, amendment, of those who have sinned. Titus. Diodorus, 378 AD, Bishop of Tarsus, noted for untiring zeal in defense of the Nicene faith. For the wicked, there are punishments not perpetual, according to the amount of malice in their works. The resurrection, therefore, is regarded as a blessing, not only to the good, but also to the evil. Diodorus. Theodore of Mopsuestia, 407 AD. The crown and climax of the school of Antioch, called the Master of the East from his theological eminence. Dorner. Who is so great a fool as to think that so great a blessing can be to those that arise the occasion of endless torment? All have the hope of rising with Christ, so that the body having obtained immortality, thenceforward the proclivity to evil should be removed. God recapitulated all things in Christ, as though making a compendious renewal and restoration of the whole creation through him. Now this will take place in a future age, when all mankind and all powers, virtues, possessed of reason, look up to him, as is right, and obtain mutual concord and firm peace. Theodore, in Ephesians 1:10. Cyril of Alexandria, 412 AD. He, Cyril, describes Christ as having spoiled Hades, and left the devil there solitary and deserted. And again, Christ wandering down even to Hades has emptied the dark, hidden, unseen treasuries. For when death devoured him who was the Lamb on behalf of all, it vomited forth all men in him and with him. Now when sin has been destroyed, how should it be but that death, too, should wholly perish? Cyril. Maximus of Turin, 422 AD. Christ carried off to heaven man whose cause he undertook, snatched from the jaws of Hades mankind. Maximus. Theodoret, 423 AD, Bishop of Cyrus, perhaps the most famous and certainly the most learned teacher of his age, uniting to a noble intellect, a character and accomplishments equally noble. After his anger, God will bring to an end his judgment, for he will not be angry unto the end, nor keep his wrath to eternity. Theodoret, in Isaiah 13. He shows here the reason for punishment. For the Lord, the lover of men, torments us only to cure us, that he may put a stop to the course of our iniquity. Theodoret, homily in Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 6. Peter Chrysologus, 433 AD, Bishop of Ravenna. On the parable of the 100 sheep, he said that the one lost sheep represents the whole human race lost in Adam. And so the good shepherd follows the one, seeks the one, in order that in the one he may find all, in the one he may restore all. Chrysologus. Appendage by D. Scott Reichard. The apostles in Nicene creeds and first four general councils had not one word of condemnation against the blessed hope, even though it was widely prevalent. Chrysostom, 400 AD, trained in the school of Antioch and pupil of Diodorus of Tarsus, he sanctioned prayers for the dead and non-repentant. It was needful that God reconcile them perfectly so that they should never again become his enemies. If punishment were an evil to those who sin, God never would have added evils to evils. God kindly inflicts vengeance. Domitian of Galatia, Bishop of Ancyra, in the book he wrote to Vigilius, says, "They have hastily run out to anathematize most holy and glorious teachers on account of those doctrines which have been advanced concerning restitution." Epistle to Diognetus, approximately 150 AD, describes the eternal fire as chastening, not without end, but up to an end. F.M. Victorinus, 360 AD, rhetorician at Rome. He is Jesus Christ because he will save all things unto life. Gregory of Nazianzen, 325 to 390 AD, Bishop of Constantinople, says they shall be baptized with fire, that last baptism which consumes all vanity and vice. Gregory Thaumaturgus, 254 AD, Bishop of Caesarea, was distinguished for orthodoxy and numerous alleged miracles, converted nearly the whole population to Christianity, taught restoration boldly. Irenaeus, 180 AD. Christ will come at the end of the times in order to annul everything evil and to reconcile again all things, that there may be an end of all impurities. Jerome, 340-420 AD, says, fire is God's last medicine for the 10 tribes, and for heretics, and for all sinners. When the divine fire shall have burned up all that is vilest in them, they themselves shall be delivered as a brand snatched from the burning. In Amos 4:2. Macrina, 375 AD. On her deathbed, she cheers her brother by boldly assuring him of the extent of Christ's redemption, as destined to embrace savingly all humanity, destined to blot from the universe every stain of sin. The purificatory nature of the fire of hell is unmistakably set forth. Marcellus of Ancyra, 315 AD. For what else do the words mean until the times of restitution, but that the apostle destined to point out that time in which all things partake of that perfect restoration? Pamphilus, the martyr, 294 AD, founded the library and school at Caesarea, wrote in his Apology for Origen with Eusebius, there were very many testimonies of fathers earlier than Origen in favor of restoration. Paulinus, 393 AD, Bishop of Nola. A common disobedience shut up all, in order that faith might heal the whole, so that all the world may be made God's servant. Rufinus, 390 AD, taught that future punishment of the wicked was temporary. Sibylline books, 2nd, 3rd centuries. They clearly state the beliefs current in those days. All things, even Hades, are to be melted down in the divine fire in order to be purified. All just and unjust pass through the fire. The lost are finally to be saved at the request of the righteous. The Sibyl asserts that the pains of the damned are to be terminated. Theodore the Blessed, 423 AD, Bishop of Cyrus, most famous and learned teacher of his age. All the kings of the earth shall adore him, some indeed in the present life willingly, but all the rest after the resurrection. Psalm 80:18. After his anger, God will bring to an end, nor keep his wrath to eternity. In Isaiah 13.